Question. There is a class of devotees who come here for satsang one day, and then the next day they go to another place, and then the day after that they go wherever it suits them, sometimes here, sometimes there, wherever they feel like going for sadhu sangha. Is it good for a sadhaka to be so scattered minded? Answer. Before anything else, the sadhaka should give up this whimsical nature. The obedient disciple should learn the science of Godhead from Sri Gurudev and then remain firmly fixed in his own favorite deity. Otherwise, if he changes his devotion from one day to the other, he will not achieve anything. Deko, if someone tells me, come along, the Lord has come to a certain place, let's see it, I will not go there, even if it's true, without my guru. After all, Gurudev is there in my heart. If I was qualified to go see him, then the person says, I will not go there, even if it's true that the Lord is over there, without my guru. After all, he is there in my heart. If I was qualified to go see him, then he himself would pull me towards him. The friend comes up and says, look, Krishna's over there, the Lord's over there, let's go see him. And then that disciple, that faithful disciple says, well, I'll not go there, even if you say he's there, without my guru. Because actually, and then he says, after all, if I was qualified to go see him, then Krishna would have pulled me. Krishna would have pulled me, not you. You're pulling me. You're pulling me. You're saying, come on, let's go see him. But my Gurudev hasn't taken me over there, and Krishna himself hasn't pulled me. Because he's saying, is that after all, my Gurudev is in my heart. If I was qualified to see Krishna, my Gurudev himself would pull me towards him. Why do you have to take me? So in other words, someone comes to you and says, Krishna's down the road, I want you to go see him. Then he says, I'm not going to go there without my guru. If I was qualified to go there, my Gurudev would come and say, come, not you, but my Gurudev would take me by the hand and say, come, I want you to see Krishna. I won't go anywhere without my Gurudev, not even to see Krishna. Because I can't see Krishna without my Gurudev anyway. You see, it's not that I don't need my Gurudev. You see, this point is what he's saying. Now he says more. And another thing, can we experience God now? See, what he's saying is, I'm going along doing my bhakti, and my Gurudev, he hasn't shown me God yet, so I must not be qualified, or he'll show me God. Now someone comes up from across the street and says, come on, I'll show you God. And you'll say, well, I'm not qualified. I don't know who you're not my guru. My guru is going to show me God. That's why I surrender to him, because I have faith that he'll show me God. Now who are you? You're my friend or whatever, but you're not my guru. So then he says, another thing, can we experience God now? What sadhana and meditation have we performed that we can experience the Lord? We cannot even experience and appreciate the greatness and the sweetness of a sadhaka bhakta or a mahapurush. What to speak of the Lord himself? It is enough for unqualified people like us to simply serve the tangible divinity, Sri Gurudev, to act according to his instructions, to discuss the nature of God with him, and to ascertain the proper philosophical conclusions from him. He is, after all, the Lord himself. There's another way to look at it. Your friend says, come on, I want you to see the Lord. I'm already seeing him. You go ahead and see him. I'm already seeing him. What do you mean? He's right here. He's upstairs. He's in his room. You want to see him? I'll take you to see him. No. Krishna's down the street. No, my Krishna's upstairs. My Krishna's upstairs. I don't see anything else. I'm sorry. And when I'm supposed to see Krishna, that person upstairs will show me. And consider one more thing. The Lord is the valuable jewel. And Sri Gurudev is a jeweler that has this valuable jewel. If he does not point him out, then how can we recognize this topmost jewel? If it is our duty to follow Gurudev in all respects, then Gurudev will consider whether we are qualified or unqualified, and he will tell us which way to go. It is then our duty to go exactly in the direction where he wants to send us, and by his grace, we will be able to understand something about God. If, however, we act otherwise and drift about, going to this sannyasi today, to that sadhu tomorrow, to this fakir the next day. Fakir means like a tantric or yogi type guy. Then our minds will be scattered, and this will prove to be a genuine obstacle on our path of spiritual progress. It is particularly necessary to remain fixed on the beloved deity while traversing the path of sadhana. And the culmination of fixation in the Guru is fixation in the Lord. As you become absorbed in the Guru, serving Him and meditating on Him and remembering Him, then from that meditation, from that absorption, from that service, you'll become absorbed in God, absorbed in meditating on Krishna and serving Him. The sadhaka bhakta disciple should diligently keep his whole heart and mind fixed on his beloved deity. The word deity here is not Radha Govinda, it's not Giriraj. He's talking about, and he said, his beloved deity with a small d, Sri Gurudev. If we keep on fluttering around with scattered minds, going here today and there tomorrow, it will not work. The fortunate sadhaka who remains fixed in loyalty to his guru in all circumstances has attained everything, and he has nothing left to pray for. He is a qualified receptacle for the Lord's mercy. Question?
Is this about guru? This refers to both gurus, Diksha and Shiksha Guru, or only Diksha Guru?
I believe that he's speaking about Diksha Guru in this case.
The whole discussion can also refer to Shiksha Guru, but I believe the tenor of this is Diksha Guru. Someone comes and says, let's go see Krishna. The disciple has all his faith in his Sri Guru, and he's seeing Sri Guru as God. And even if someone comes and says, God's across the street, the person will say, that's okay, but I'll go when my guru takes me. You go ahead. That's, I think, it's about what all he's saying. And besides that, I see my guru as Krishna, as God. And when I'm ready, I have faith that when I'm ready, he'll show me. And if you're trying to pull me now, another point he's making, even if I go over there and see, I won't see. Even if Krishna's standing over this flute, because I'm not qualified yet, because I still have material minds and material vision. Even if you pull me, even if I forget about it, I'll say, well, really? I didn't think he looks like that. You'll become offensive, because you're not ready to see. So he may pull you over there. But Gurudev, he knows when you're ready to see, and he'll show you. But that's the other thing he's saying. Even if you go, you're not qualified. So he said that point. That was mentioned there. He says, what sadhana and meditation have we performed that we can experience the Lord? You know, we haven't developed the divya drishti or the proper eyes yet. Even if we go and see, we're already seeing every day. The deity, the Archamurti, is a full manifestation of the personality of God. Full manifestation of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is the Murti. In 11th canto, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. He can talk, he can dance, he can sing, he can do everything. But we go every day. No, we don't see any, because we haven't done the sadhana or the meditation to actually see. Question. You said that we should consider Sri Gurudev to be identical with God. But how can we experience Him to be like God? Those questions are great. Answer. Deko. He says, look. Right? Sri Gurudev is always full of transcendental bliss. Our relationship with Gurudev is simply a blissful, transcendental pastime. Our relationship with Gurudev is simply a blissful, transcendental pastime. One day we go over here, one day we go over there, just one pastime after the other.
That sounds great. I'll, some lifetime I may have a relationship like that with my Guru. This is a fact. Think of this externally and internally. Internally means eternally. Externally means this body is, goes down, is finished. But internally means in the spiritual world, the Gurudev and Vrindavan. So I think of this like that. My relationship with Srila Prabhupada is simply a blissful transcendental pastime, because he's in his Swarup in the eternal land of Vrindavan, where his blissful transcendental pastimes, right? That's all it is. That's the Kali Yuga, his blissful transcendental pastimes. And we're with him serving there. So this, so that's internal and eternal. So you should think like that also. And that's why we're that's what we say in Gayatri, when we're meditating on Gayatri. My Gurudev is full of Ananda. I am Gurudev, Krishna Ananda. My Gurudev is giving, in his Swarup, he's giving so much Ananda to Radha and Krishna. They're so happy and bliss, full of bliss by his service. And I'm there right behind him, assisting. This is part of this meditation, Guru Gayatri. He gives us the beacon of transcendental knowledge. You know beacon? Like on the ocean, sometimes they have, like, I don't know, you ever seen them have a big, what do you call it? Big house, and there's a big light on the top, and it shines a light out to all the boats. Mm-hmm. That's called a beacon light. A beacon light means a guiding light. Because like the boat's trying, where's the harbor? Where's the harbor? Right? Where's my shelter? The boat. So our body is a boat. And we're in the ocean material existence. And we need a safe harbor. We need a shelter. So we're floating around out there and we can't find the harbor because it's very black and dark. You can't find a safe place to park your boat. But then but at the opening, at the inlet or whatever they call it, to the harbor, there's this big light way up on a big house, big, you know, pole, tower. And there's a beacon light shines out for 10 nautical miles. Oh, there, that's you know, Hamburg or whatever. And you... So the Guru is a beacon light. You follow that light and then you're okay. He gives us the beacon of transcendental knowledge, the light of transcendental knowledge, the guiding light. And he is always dear to behold. A sullen and silent disciple is not good. And a Guru who flatters the disciple with some motive is also not good. The best characteristic of a Guru is that he is pleasant and nice. The scriptures order us to consider the Guru equal to God, but we are not always able to do that. So, do you know how we can see Sri Guru as God? Deko, the Lord is full of transcendental bliss, right? Ananda Maya Vyasat. When Sri Guru is always pleasant and blissful, then from this pleasant and delightful state of his, we can understand that he is like God, and we can relish or experience that so much. In other words, God is full of bliss. He's always blissful and joyful. So if the Guru is actually supposed to be God, then he should also be blissful and joyful. So by being with him, we can appreciate and understand what it's like to be with Krishna. Right? That's what he says. Isn't that what he said? Then from this, in other words, he said, when Sri Guru is always pleasant and blissful, then from this state of the Guru, his pleasant and blissful state, we can understand that he is like God. And we can relish or experience that so much. And another thing, if you consider your Guru to be equal to God, then Guru may be anyone. But the Lord will certainly act through him. This is a certain truth. And if you consider the Guru to be a human being, then you are worshipping a human being. You are calling a human being, not God. Why would the Lord heed your call and act accordingly? A sullen and silent disciple is not good. Sullen means down-faced. We heard one tape where Prabhupada said, if a devotee is morose... Morose is another, like, sullen. If a devotee is morose, he's not Krishna conscious. If a devotee is walking around with a long face, he's not Krishna conscious. So he says, a sullen and silent disciple is not good. What he's saying here, if you consider your Guru to be equal to God, then the Guru may be anyone. But the Lord will certainly act through him. The
In other words, Guru is a human being. He appears to be like any human being. He's human. He has a body and sleeps and eats and all the things human beings do. And if you, and then, because the next, he's playing this off, because after this thing, he says, if you consider the Guru to be just a human being, then you're worshipping a human being. But he says, if you consider your Guru to be equal to God, then Guru may be anyone, but the Lord will certainly act through him. So, maybe any human being. In other words, if you consider anyone, alright, I take this person, he's a human being, but he's saying he's a Guru. So, I'll accept him as Guru, and I'll worship this one. You know, anyone that you take, any human being that's posing as Guru, and you take any one of those human beings who's posing as Guru, and you worship him as Guru, then God will act through him. Is that clear? I think that's what he's saying. The Lord will certainly act through him. This is a certain truth. He say, I am Guru. And there's 150, there's 3,000 men, they're human beings, or women, or whatever, they're human beings. And you can take any one of them. That's what he's saying. But if you just consider, the Guru is a human being, then he'll remain a human being. He'll remain relative, and Krishna will act for him, because your attitude is wrong. You're not seeing properly, according to Shastra and all of them. How does the Lord hear the devotees' call? It's like many people were in TM, and they were very serious, very good in TM, and they were instructors and gurus or whatever they are in there. And one of them was in L.A., joined in L.A., and he went to his Guru Maharaj and he said, I've learned so much from you, and I appreciate so much, but I have a hankering in my heart for some, you know. And he said, you go to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he will help you. So he came, and he became a disciple of Prabhupada. I mean, God is manifesting, God is there, and God is also helping the Mormons and the Muslims and everybody who's there. It's just a percentage, it's just a matter of percentage, so we always... You know, people, like I said, the person's sincere, but not so sincere. But we appreciate that sincerity. We appreciate that spark of God consciousness that people have, although, you know, it's covered over with a lot of Maya. But if they're sincere, like you said, Krishna will pull them up. Next life, they'll, slowly, slowly, or this life, with them. We never find offense, or we never belittle someone that's on a spiritual path. That is not our position. We always encourage everyone. It's like the person I met in an airport. I didn't say, oh, you're... I was like, great, fantastic. Take the bottle with Tom. Or like your friend across the river, whatever, he's in some... whatever. But he's reading Bhagavatam with Tom. Maybe he jumps over all the Maya bodies or whatever. But someday maybe he'll read that. It's like, hey, maybe I'm a Maya body. Or whatever. You know, in other words, the benefit is coming. And maybe he'll come on this side of the river in 2 years. Or go... or whatever. Who knows? We honor, we respect that. We have our way and our realizations, and we worship, and we respect others. Amani na amani dena kirtaniya sadahari. Right? Amani na amani dena. If there's any money, if there's any false pride, and oh, we're better than you, then lost. So how does the Lord hear the devotee's call? Look, Sri Gurudev is the direct and tangible form of the Lord. The devotee's calls and anxious weeping will certainly not always reach the Lord. It will reach the Lord, however, through Sri Guru. This is for sure. For sure. Then see, in the form of Sri Guru, the Lord personally hears the devotee's calls, the devotee's call from close by. Later, in an indirect way, the disciple will hear it. He will hear it in his form as God. If the devotion of the devotee depends on his devotion to Sri Guru, then the disciple will arrive at the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord's mercy will also depend on Sri Guru's grace, and then it will become revealed to the devotee. It is simply self-deception to call the Lord or to surrender oneself to God while trying to jump over Sri Gurudev, who is a tangible, present who is a tangible form of the Lord present before us. This kind of prayer or call to God will be heard later by God, which means that after Gurudev, in the form of Antaryami or Supersoul, hears it, then the Lord will hear it. He tells a story. One day, a devotee got into trouble, and he anxiously cried out, "Gurudev, Gurudev!" At that time, Lord Krishna was sitting down in Dwarka having his meal. Without finishing his meal, he jumped up and stopped eating. He stopped eating and jumped up. And Rukmini said, "My Lord, what happened? Why are you getting up without eating?" The Lord replied, "Oh, dearest one, I have to go now. A devotee is calling out for me." Rukmini said, "What is this? So many devotees are calling you all the time. And you never gave up your meal. So why are you acting so rashly? For any of them before." And the Lord said, "Yes, Rukmini, what you say is true. But everyone that's called me before, when I was eating, they're always saying, 'Oh Bhagavan, oh Bhagavan, oh Bhagavan, save me.' So I will come to save them sometime later. But if someone calls me by saying, 'Gurudev, Gurudev, save me,' I must come immediately to that person's rescue. I must show them my Sri Guru form very quickly." So this is the story. Look, there you go. The devotee attains the bliss that arises from serving the Lord through the service of Sri Guru. That is why I said that he who sees Sri Guru exactly as God is blessed, he is the king of devotees. Sri Guru Charane Yar Ache Nishta Bhakti Pramanda Tarati Se Dare Mahashakti. Sri Guru Charane Yar Ache Nishta Bhakti Pramanda Tarati Se Dare Mahashakti. A person who is fixed in devotion to Sri Guru's lotus feet has the great power to redeem the whole world. There are again different stages in Guru Bhakti. So there's different stages in Guru Bhakti. This Guru Bhakti ultimately culminates in Bhagavat Bhakti. Guru Bhakti reaches its culmination when a disciple can exactly adhere to the principle of Yadyapi Amara Guru Shundi Bhari Jaya Tatapi Amara Guru Nityananda Rai, which means, oh, this is from Chaitanya Bhagavat. He doesn't say it, but I know it's from Chaitanya. Even if my guru goes into a bar, bar, liquor store, still my guru is directly Lord Nityananda. Tell me, that's the end of that translation of that. Speaker says, "Tell me, how many fortunate people have such a steady faith in Sri Guru that they can keep him thus in such esteem like God himself? We cannot completely conceive of him as God, yet we also do not consider him to be an ordinary human being, for that would make us afraid to commit offenses. So look, this makes the Guru appear to us like some kind of monster. He would descend before us in the Nisringa avatar." Because he's had to tie all the sentences together to try to extract the meaning. So he's saying that there's different stages in Guru Bhakti. Right? That's the principle that we are holding and now trying to figure it out. And Guru Bhakti ends in Bhagavad Bhakti. Now he's saying the highest form of Guru Bhakti, because he says Guru Bhakti reaches its culmination. So he says, highest form of Guru Bhakti is when the disciple can see, even if my guru goes in a bar, he's still my guru. He's still the manifestation of Lord Nityananda. He's still the manifestation of Guru Tattva. That's the highest position. Tatmosa, I don't care if he goes, he's still Nityananda. Okay? But then he says, how many people can have such faith in Guru that they can maintain this esteem or this that he's God himself in all circumstances? Now he's going to talk about a lower level of Guru Bhakti. We cannot completely, some disciples cannot completely conceive of Guru as God. Yet we must be careful not to consider him an ordinary human being. In other words, he's not God. Some can see him as God and he goes into a bar. It doesn't matter. But some say, well, I can't handle that. But he's not an ordinary person. Maybe he's not, but he's not ordinary. And I'm afraid to commit offenses. He says like that. So now this sentence, this is the lesson. So look, this makes the guru appear to us like some kind of monster. He would descend before us in the Narasimha avatar. Question. At present, our guru bhakti is certainly like this. So is this devotion reproachable? So the disciple, I'll explain. The disciple is asking the guru, we don't have that much guru bhakti. If my guru goes in a liquor store, that's it, I'm finished. So that's what this person is asking. Well, we don't have that kind of guru bhakti. So is our lower level of devotion reproachable, or is, what does that mean, reproachable? It means not good, or it's not good, basically. Or of a lower standard. Answer. Devotion can never be reproachable. For however, how much or how little devotion you offer to any kind of receptacle, devotion never goes in vain. He's saying that the quality of devotion is such an entity or such a substance that no matter where you direct devotion, it will never go in vain. Now, this is general. You direct devotion to your school. Direct devotion to your family. The quality. So he says, the type of guru bhakti or the level of guru bhakti we are practicing now is not the summit of guru bhakti. You know summit?
Yeah.
Topmost. Still, this type of guru bhakti will lead us further towards the lotus feet of the Lord. The present standard of guru bhakti that we are performing is just a rehearsal for genuine guru bhakti. You know rehearsal? No. A rehearsal means on Friday the play, we'll put on the play on Friday, but today we have to practice. So this is rehearsal. Practicing is rehearsal. The show is on Friday at 8 o'clock, but we have to meet every day in the 4 o'clock in the afternoon to have rehearsal. That's practice. Preliminary, it's practice. It's not the final thing. It's not the... You understand? That's rehearsal. So we're... On the day that you can sincerely dedicate your life to the service of the Guru, like the exemplary Guru Bhakta, Srila Narottam, whose life was exclusively given to his Guru, you can experience how great the genuine transcendental bliss of Guru Bhakti actually is. Of all the devotees of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Srila Narottam Thakur Mahashaya was the exemplary Guru Bhakta. Aha! It is no exaggeration to say that no one can be compared to him in this. You should take an example. You should take the example of Srila Narottam's Guru Bhakti and his sincere service to Guru. Thakur Mahashaya had so much faith in Sri Guru, and he saw him so much as God himself, that he spoke out loud, Guru Mata, Guru Pita, Guru Hon Poti, Guru Vina E Jagate Nahi Anyagati, Guru Mata. My Guru is my mother. Guru Pita, my Guru is my father. My Guru is my master. In the whole world, I have no other shelter but my Guru. This is from Sri Guru Vandana. Some other, or by Padakarsa, some other Sri Guru Vandana, not the one he's. So you see, Guru is everything. Of course, this is a discussion on Guru Tattvas, and actually everything is about Guru. You may say, hey, this sounds pretty unbalanced. All we've been talking about for an hour and a half is Guru, and Guru this and Guru that. But that's this whole book, it's all about Guru Tattvas. So that's why it sounds like this, because of course this is true. Guru is everything. First of all, you always think of the guru, whether you are eating or sleeping, dreaming or awake. After that, in the ultimate end, guru will stand before you as Sri Krishna. If you come to that platform, if you always think of guru, always think of guru when you're eating. Jai Gurudev. Jai Gurudev. Think of Gurudev when you're sleeping, dreaming, and when you're awake. After that, in the ultimate end, guru will stand before you as Sri Krishna. Anything you do will certainly be successful as long as you say, Jai Gurudev. Srila Prabhupada ki. Please give us some instructions on faith in the guru's words and in following his orders. How shall we follow his orders? Are these incredibly relevant questions or not? Ananyas chintiyanto mam yejana paripashite tesham nitya nukta nitya nukta yogam shimam vahamyam. Preserve what you have and I carry what you lack. So maybe we're lacking something in our guru bhakti or our shraddha, our faith, or our understanding. Maybe we're all lacking something. So Krishna sent us this book. This book is for us. If we're following this principle, seeing everything in relationship to Krishna, and keeping Krishna in the center of everything, then we'll see everything in relationship to the center. The center is Krishna, and the center is love of Krishna. And the goal of our life is to love Krishna, and to go to Krishna, and to serve Radha and Krishna forever in the spiritual land of Vrindavan. So everything has a connection. You have a connection to that center point. My goal is to love Krishna. You're connected to that. You're connected to that. You're connected to that. This book is connected. This floor is connected. That dog is connected. They're all connected. And the ability to connect it is your Krishna consciousness. What is your Krishna consciousness? So you have to connect everything by the strength of your Krishna consciousness or your guru bhakti. It's no difference. So, this book came to me. Okay, I put it on my eye. I don't need to put it on my shelf. No, wait a minute. This must be for me. Oh, okay. Just like if a letter comes to you, someone says, "Oh, are you Siddhadeya?" Yeah, that's me. Oh, this is for you. Oh, a letter. Okay. This is all about. Dear Siddhadeya, I want to send a donation of £1,000,000 to Delhi for the deity service. Oh, let's see. Who is this anyway? This must be for me. You know. So like that, everything is a letter addressed to us. Every event is autographed. Every person is a letter with our name on it. Every event is an event with our name on it. It's personalized. And when we have to cultivate the vision, we have to cultivate the vision to see the connection with everything to the center. And that comes from humility. The meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. But before you inherit the kingdom of God, you have to see it. You have to see it before you can get there. So to have that vision, requires humility. So when you have humility, then you can have this perception of the center and everything. Your consciousness is registered in your body, no doubt. Can't hide it. Gurudev, please give us some instructions on faith in the Guru's words and following his orders. How do we follow his orders? Deko, have faith in the words of the Guru and follow his orders accordingly. Do what he tells you, but don't do what he is doing. When the doctor comes and prescribes a certain medicine, the patient must take the medicine with faith. When the patient says, "I won't take this medicine unless you take it also," then the patient will not be cured. The doctor is healthy. He does not have to take any medicine. You, my dear disciple, are sick. You must have faith in the Guru's words and act accordingly. And remember this, about his orders are powerful. Now there's an example. Consider the following example. As a result of serving his Guru, Govinda Das attained the service of Govinda himself in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sripad Ishwarapuri left this manifest world, he gave his final instruction to his beloved disciple Govindadas to go to Neelachala, Jagannath Puri, and engage in the service of Sriman Mahaprabhu. Now, Sriman Mahaprabhu was also the disciple of Sripad Ishvara Puri. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya was initially hesitant to accept the foot service of Govindadas, who was, in the spiritual sense, his godbrother. And he did not accept it. Finally, however, he accepted his Sri Guru's orders just to teach the conditioned souls that Sri Gurudev's orders are more powerful than anything. As Guru was leaving this world, he said, "Now I want you and Kashishwara Pandit to go to Puri and render humble service to Lord Chaitanya." Right? And then Govindadas went there, and he was like, he would bring prasadam from the temple of Jagannath and massage his feet and all these things. But when he got there, he said, "You're my godbrother. I can't take service from Lord Chaitanya." He said, "Wow, you're my godbrother. I can't take service from you." I said, "No, but it's Gurudev's orders." And he said, "Well, it's Gurudev's orders. I have to follow. No matter what he says, it's Gurudev's order. I have to do it, even though it pains me." So what Gurudev was actually doing was allowing him to serve the Supreme Personality of God indirectly, to meet Lord Chaitanya. Even though they were God brothers, ultimately Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna. So Gurudev Ishwarpuri handed his disciple Govindadas, being pleased with his service, he handed him over directly to the lotus feet of Krishna. So Gurudev's orders are more powerful than anything else. In other words, although Govindadas was in a spiritual sense his godbrother, he still gave him the right to serve his lotus feet. As a result of serving his guru, Govindadas attained the service of Govinda himself. So the idea is, somehow or other, we should carry out the orders of the spiritual master, because by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master, we will attain the direct service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.